Welcome to Inspiring Elders, a 13-part documentary produced and presented by Marie-Angeline Lascaux with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. What happens physiologically and psychologically as we grow older? What is the role of an elder in our society? What does positive aging mean? What part does nutrition play in remaining fit and healthy? And why is it so important to remain active in our later years? Why do so many of our elders engage in music, art, dance, poetry? Can we start new careers in our 50s and 60s? What is the role of spirituality? And what does it mean to live a fulfilled life? All these questions and more will be answered by a panel of experts, including a professor of gerontology, medical doctors, an Ayurvedic doctor, a homeopath, a psychologist, dancers, writers, artists, teachers, healers, all of whom share a passion for life and a commitment to remain engaged with the younger generation. In this program, Joanna Bank, who is the Artistic Director of the College of Dance and a founder member of the Association of Professional Dancers, talk about her career and the artistry of dance. The late Mary Morricini shared a passion for ballroom dancing. Leslie Andelman, Lucy Johnson and Tony Hugh bring us into the seductive world of tango.
I think we can't underestimate the value of being active in whatever area is good for you. I mean, even just going for a good healthy walk, it's probably one of the best forms of exercise. But I think dancers are blessed in that we have a very interesting possibility to do some wonderful movement.
Joanna, you're the Artistic Director of the College of Dance of Ireland and the founder member of the Association of Professional Dancers in Ireland. I was wondering if you could tell our listeners how old you are.
Well, I will be 71 in April. Apparently, according to family rumour, I moved around really from the very beginning. I was evacuated during the Second World War, and my grandfather had a collection of 78 records, and he was a terrific Tchaikovsky addict. And so, from the earliest memories, I can remember responding to beautiful orchestral music. That's really what drew me into dance in the beginning, was the musical element. I arrived in Ireland in 1974, and that was very specifically still as a classical dancer to work with the Irish Ballet Company. And I had 10 very enjoyable and exciting years with them, actually based in Cork. We toured all over Ireland, and at that point it was totally fulfilling and totally full-time, so there really wasn't any time to even think about anything else. But I left the company in 84 and moved up to Dublin and started to do a bit of freelance work. And then economics struck, so in order to make a living, I started to teach in an evening class. Suddenly I found that what I'd really been dreading turned into an extremely rewarding evening. And one class became two, and I was still doing various performances myself. And then someone approached both myself and a former colleague of Irish Ballet, Anna Donovan, about reorganising a professional dance training course that was in Diggs Lane at the time. And so around 1990, the College of Dance kicked off in Diggs Lane. And then 3 years later, for various reasons, it was necessary to have one person as the figurehead. And fate decreed that I took it on. And the college has grown since then, and I've absolutely no regrets. It's been an amazing journey. And I'm totally blessed because I have the most amazing faculty, two of whom were students from the early days, which is a lovely way of the wheel coming round full circle. And hopefully, I mean, I will remain involved, but as the years go by, if I want to step aside a little bit and do slightly less on certain fronts, then I know that these two incredible young women will run with it. I love the teaching. I can still demonstrate reasonably well, not as well as I would like because the bones get a bit stiff. But that is really, really incredibly rewarding because I'm still teaching classical ballet, which was obviously my first love.
In the year 1997, there was a travelling group called Tango Passion, and that got my first sort of view of Argentinian tango. I had been a Tai Chi student for 5 years. When I started to learn tango, I realised that this was like Tai Chi, except it was dancing, and it was much more enjoyable. You know, I now was dancing with a partner, so I just dropped the Tai Chi at that stage and continued my journey into tango. I was dancing tango because of the passion of tango, because of the relationship with the person I was tangoing with, especially with the music, although it's very difficult when you begin to dance tango to listen to the music. You're so much concentrating on your steps. It is a creative process for me. When I dance, it is spontaneous. So in that way, it's creative and to be in the moment.
With my work with the Altona, I met some of the other ambassadors, and they're all extraordinary people because they're still very, very active in the particular art forms that they have been involved with. And I don't think any of them have any intention of putting their feet up and sitting in a rocking chair. I mean, you do go on, hopefully until the very end.
How do you feel? What does dance do to you? Like, I have a feeling you're going to be dancing till the very, very, very last day.
Oh, yes. You always have this interest. And the rhythms, say the rhythm of the rumba, you can't just do the dance and think of what I have for dinner. When you do the dance, you have to get into what it means. As you're dancing it, you have this feeling in your body. And you can see, it shows in your face as well. You have to dance with every part of your body and your face.
The school was founded in 1912 by your parents.
Right, by my father. Mm-hmm. And he met his wife, my mother, and they put the names together.
What type of dancing was he teaching in those days?
In those days, in the beginning of the last century, it would have been dancing side by side. This is called old-time dancing, such as the valita or the military two-step and dances like that. And they would have put out the old-time waltz as well. The old-time waltz then in those days had quite hard footwork and foot positions, like ballet foot positions. So it was quite a difficult dance to learn. The schools of that day were all featuring this new wonderful dance called the tango that has remained one of the dances of today. And it's in two forms now. One is the one that's used in ballroom dancing, and the other is the Argentinian tango.
So the style of the Argentinian tango is more a closer embrace,
yes,
than the ballroom one.
Yes, you lean in more with your shoulders coming in, and the hold is much more compact, where in the ballroom tango it's the opposite. Your hips are well forward and your shoulders back the lady, and mm-hmm. Her head is always well to the left. And it's more of a straight stance with slightly relaxed knees.
In the old days, people used to meet through going to dances, and there were different types of dance. There were the ordinary dance and there were the dressed-up dance.
That's right. In the different ballrooms, the different firms would hold, as they called it, a supper dress dance. Once a year, the girls would be asked by a gentleman there, would she accompany him to the dance? And it was dress up, it was tails for him and a long dress for her. And he had to present her with flowers and maybe a box of chocolates. And the dance was a supper dance, and it went on from about 9 till 3. And sometimes my brother and I did a demonstration at these dances.
And then you also went around the country to demonstrate.
We did, yes, the different ballrooms. And of course, that was a bit hazardous because we would bring our music and the bands of the day probably wouldn't be used to music. But they just did their best. And it could be in a marquee in a field where I'd have to be carried across the field. And another time, doing a demonstration in those days, you had to stick on the sequins yourself. So one time I was moving away from my partner in our opening demonstration, and as I pirouetted back to him and then away from him, all the sequins were left on his trousers.
Right.
That happened one time, yeah. So nowadays the clothes are beautiful and they're a bit of a different style. They're more beautiful because they're like the dresses that Ginger Rogers would have worn with Fred Astaire. So they're much nicer now than the very wide net skirts that we had to wear.
And the men had to wear gloves.
Oh yeah, going back to the old-time dancing of my father's day. It was all a dress-up thing it was balls that the ladies would go to, and they would wear full evening dress, and the men would also wear evening dress and white gloves to protect the ladies' dress from their perspiring hands.
And so today, in the studio and here in Dublin, what type of dance have remained?
Well, the dances that were really in the schools were the waltz, quick step, slow foxtrot and tango. And then if it was Latin American, it was cha-cha-cha, samba, rumba, paso doble and jive. So they were the dances more or less used in competitions, not so much at a dance. And in those days, there were plenty of ballrooms around Dublin, and the bands were very good. And that's where one met their husband or wife. That was mostly the way, and in the country as well.
And there was a period then when the disco was very popular, where you were teaching steps to do with John Travolta.
Oh yes, in the disco years, that was in the end of 1970s and into 1980, the Saturday Night Fever picture came along with John Travolta, and also Grease came along later. So this caused a sensation with the public, and they came in, and the school had to open many new classes to cater for these dancers. So that lasted for some years and brought quite a lot of business to the school. And each school had their own John Travolta dressed up to do the Saturday Night Fever. So it was great excitement then. And of course the music of the BJs were used, and all the different disco rhythms of the day.
And what's your favourite dance of all time?
I like the foxtrot, and in the Latin American it's the rumba, and then I do like jive and the rock and roll very much.
And it keeps you fit, doesn't it?
It certainly does keep you fit. You have to have something to think about in later life to stimulate you in using your brain, and then of course the exercise is the most important part. No matter what type of exercise it is, you must exercise all your life and you feel much better for it and remain healthy.
I would be inspired from passion, from commitment to passion. Tango was a great outlet for passion because I could ask somebody to dance, and now we could share a sensitivity and a passion in a boundary so that we could share this together, feel this sensuality over the dance, and then after the dance you can say thank you very much, and then you dance with somebody else and you can relive all the passion and sensuality all over again. And at the end of the night you now can go home and feel very good about yourself, very good about the people that you've danced with, and that will really keep you going. So you can keep dancing and keep doing this as long as your legs will carry you, and that will give you the passion and the sensuality and your lust for life right up until the day you die.
What is the meaning of beauty? How do I touch its essence? How do I conceive of its qualities? How can I grasp its truth? Is it in the gentle yearning of your eyes, or the silkiness of your long sable hair? Is it in the sound of your gently modulated voice, or the smooth velvety touch of your skin? Can it be seen in your caring, thoughtful nature, or in your smile, selfless and sincere? Can one compare the elegant contour of your body, or the sheer fascination of your visage? Can it be illustrated by your presence? Can it be sensed in your embrace? Does it change my vibration to higher planes? Does it give me a glimpse of everlasting joy? Does your beauty unfold my eternal soul, or show me the marvels of creation? Can it teach me reverence and humility, or bring me closer to our God? What is the meaning of beauty? Now I have seen its essence. Now I have known its qualities, and its truth will set me free.
Anthony, you started dancing tango at 60.
That's correct.
Tell us about it.
I've learned dancing over the years. I learned ballroom dancing as a schoolboy. I went back about 5 years ago to learn ballroom dancing. And I used to do, of course, the usual disco dancing. And I always enjoyed the dancing for whatever reason. I was always very active at it. A friend of mine learned tango, and when I saw her, how she progressed, I decided, okay, I should give this a go as well. And I thoroughly enjoy it. I think the main thing I like about it is that it's continuously creative. There's lots you can learn in it. There's a lot of challenges in it. And it is another expression of the music. I can express the music that I hear in the dance. The tango is hugely creative and demanding. That's why I enjoy it. As with all art forms, they change and vary over the years. People come up with different styles and their own way of doing things. So as tango has spread from Argentina to other places in the world, there have been variations in it. I'm interested in the authentic style and approach that was taught back in the golden years of the 1940s and 50s in Argentina. I've got a natural feel for the music, and it just allows me to express the music, so I feel the exhilaration of that. I can feel also the joy when my partner is able to follow. It's good exercise and discipline for both of us, and it's enjoyable when it works.
My history in tango really started about, I think, about 5 or 6 years ago. A friend of mine, Leslie Handelman, who's a terrific dancer, he was going to classes. And he said, look, you know, why don't you take up tango? Would you like to dance? And I thought, yeah, why not?
And how old were you then?
I suppose I would have been in my mid-50s. I liked to dance anyway. I used to do Irish dancing as a child. So I thought, oh yeah, this is going to be easy. But actually it wasn't. It seems like a passionate dance, and people just look at it from the outside and think, oh yeah, tango's so sensual and all of that sort of thing. But it's, again, when you're learning something, you have to go back, get yourself centered, look at your balance, and that in itself seems to have a therapeutic effect, apart from the fact that you're not doing it on your own now, you're doing it with a partner. And that's another dynamic that feeds into this space. You can feel euphoric after a few dances. I don't understand it, but I love it. So here I am at 61, singing and dancing and making a show of myself, but I really don't mind.
What is your secret?
It all stems from the fact that if you're a classical ballet dancer, you have to look after yourself. I mean, on all fronts, you have to remain healthy. You have to eat a really, really sensible diet. You need to be a certain physique. You know, if you're appearing in a classical tutu, you've got to have relatively slim legs. But you've got to have loads of energy, be very, very active, and also stay healthy, because you're no use in a ballet company if you pick up every bug that's going. So it's become part of my life that I still eat relatively healthily. And I think that's paid off over the years. Because also, if you're relatively light, you don't put an awful lot of strain on your joints. And I do think that keeping active is hugely important. And I think it's important to my students that I can still actually show them, to a lesser or greater extent, what is required. And that challenges me, because you know, I may feel old and stiff some mornings, but I don't want to show them I'm feeling old and stiff, so it makes me get on top of things and get down into that studio and give it my best shot, and I invariably feel much, much better. I don't teach every day, but the days I teach, I really feel in terrifically good shape. Each new generation, to a certain extent, you can try to guide them, but they have to learn by their own mistakes. But having said that, you can also help them probably to pick up the pieces. So I think it's very, very valuable that I've got a wide range of experience in the profession. The only danger about being considered an elder would be that you would become complacent and think that you know it all, and that's a huge tripwire. You never know it all. I think life is an exciting journey, and you're on a learning curve all the way through, and I think it's very important to remember that. And I must say that working with my students, who are a wonderful lot of young people, they keep me young because they're constantly challenging my ideas. And I think each generation has something to offer. I think we have wonderful life experience, which I think we hopefully use to help others. But I think we also need to also listen to people of all generations. I think it's a sharing between all the different generations. I hope that the College of Dance will continue. I would like to think that there will still be proper dance training in Ireland, and that there will be the means of helping young dancers make it into the profession. It's increasingly rewarding giving back into the profession that gave me so much. I mean, I've had a huge amount of wonderful things happen. I've had an incredible life. And I think it's not asking too much that at this point in my career, I actually give back while I still can, as much as I possibly can, to the next generation, and hopefully inspire them to do likewise when they become too old to dance. I still have performances to perform, which is quite unusual at my age. We've evolved over the years. With the younger dancers, they're capable of doing a huge amount of movement. That I can distill into smaller movements all the essence and presence that I've learned over the years. There's something very, very special about it. I'm very privileged to still be able to do it, but it's a wonderful feeling to still be involved and feel that you can contribute to the whole performance element. When you're in a performance situation, you just go into another world, really. I mean, for me, once the lights go down and you're in a performance space, there's just something very, very, very special. If you're a performing artist, you've obviously got to have a terrific degree of sensitivity and artistry, but to a certain extent, you have to develop over that a slightly thick skin, which will help you through all the knocks, because if you're too vulnerable, you're really going to get hurt. I think you have to try to appreciate life. I mean, we don't know how long we're here. And I think that was brought home to me when my considerably younger sister died. And I think that taught me that really we don't know what's around the corner. And I think that at each stage in our life, we really need to live in the moment as much as we can. I think trying to be positive about the things that one still has and the things that one still loves, and to try and have that positive outlook on life. I think I was very blessed that I was given an innate talent to dance. And I was doubly blessed in that I was able to take that talent and have the opportunity to run with it, develop it, and use it to the absolute maximum.
You were listening to Inspiring Elders, a 13-part documentary produced and presented by Marie-Angèle Lascaux with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. This programme featured Joanna Banks, Mary Morricini, Leslie Handelman, Lucy Johnson and Tony Hugh. The music on this programme is from Seamus Brown, and you can find out more about his music on www.brotherseamus.ie. If you want to get in touch with any of the contributors, you can contact us through www.springintolife.ie. Tune in again next week to find out about the role of spirituality in our golden years.